Hello, everybody. Happy October. Happy Friday. It's time for Hands on Mac. This week, the new Safari's here. The new Safari's here. Hands on Mac comes to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether employees are working in the office or remotely. Visit LastPass.com/Twit to learn more.
This is Twit.
This episode of Hands on Mac is brought to you by IT Pro TV. If you're looking to expand your IT career, you need IT Pro TV. Visit itpro.tv/twit for an additional 30% off all consumer subscriptions. For the lifetime of your active subscription, use the code TWIT30 at checkout. All right, everybody, it's time for the new version of Safari. This is the beginning of a series of Hands on Mac episodes we're going to do about the road to Big Sur, the next generation of Mac OS, Mac OS 11, which is probably going to come out this month and is going to change a lot of things, certainly going to look different, and it's going to be designed to work with the new Apple Silicon machines, which I expect will also come out this year. I guess we'll hear from Apple at some point and find out more about that. The first broadside, though, of Mac OS 11 is already here, and that's Safari 14. Now, if you haven't yet installed Safari 14, you can go to Software Update, and you'll see it's a software update. It's kind of the first part of Big Sur. It's being shipped in advance. I'm not sure why Apple's shipping it early. Maybe because, I don't know, there's a bug fix that they needed to get out. Safari 14, new features, faster performance, improved security. We're going to take a look at some of those features, so I'm going to update now. While I'm updating to the latest version of Safari, let me give you a little bit of a apology, because I don't actually use Safari. I think it's probably a good idea on the Macintosh. I'm a Firefox guy, and because I use both Windows PCs, Linux PCs, and Macintoshes, I want to use a browser that I can use in all three platforms that synchronizes to all three platforms. So I'm a Firefox fan, and I think Firefox on the Mac is actually a pretty good choice. But I think many people agree that Safari is the most efficient. If you're on a laptop Mac, it's going to use the least amount of battery. It certainly is the most Mac-ish of all the browsers available on the Mac. I think it's a good idea in most cases to have multiple browsers available. And of course, all Macintoshes have Safari, so nothing wrong with having Safari. And nothing wrong with making Safari your default browser, but there are other choices. I generally don't use Chrome. The knock on Chrome is it really is a resource hog, uses a lot of memory, uses a lot of CPU cycles, and that means it also is going to use a lot of battery on portable devices. On my laptop, I pretty much stick with Firefox. I probably should use Safari. And now with some of these new features, maybe I will. So now that Safari is installed, then literally that's all it took. I just stalled for a little bit. Let's launch Safari and take a look at some of the new features. Safari 14 is, I guess, really going to be the new browser for Big Sur. And I think in some ways, this is a preview of what we can expect to see with Big Sur. You could see there's some information about what's new. And as you can see, and this is why I had to make that confession, Firefox is, in fact, my default browser, but I'm going to make Safari my default browser for the time being. If you're moving from another browser, you can import passwords and other settings. Don't know if you'll need to, but there you go. Here is the first part of the new Safari browser, and that is the start page. And I'm going to click this settings down here to show you some of the nice new features. You can completely control what information is on your start page. You see all of these are checked by default, including background image. This is kind of new. There's some pretty background images you can choose from just to dress up your Safari. This is something a lot of browsers have had for a long time. In fact, in some regard, this is playing catch-up to other browsers, the background image. iCloud Tabs is nice because it'll save the open tabs from your browser on your iPhone, on your iPad, on other Macs, and restore them from iCloud. That's a feature that I think I might want to use, because as I mentioned, I do use a number of different systems, and reloading my tabs would be nice. The reading list has been around for a long time on Safari. In fact, you can even have Safari turn any page you visit into a special reading version with fewer or no ads, a nicer layout for reading. You can control the fonts and so forth. Siri suggestions. This privacy report is new, and I'll show you that. And, of course, favorites and frequently visited, which is pretty typically seen on all browsers. Let me show you the privacy report, though, because I think that's pretty exciting. Although, while we're looking here, let me just quickly zoom in and show you some of the other features of the front page. So I keep a bookmarks toolbar loaded up with things that I access all the time, like my email. This is the favorites. That's the same thing as on the bookmarks toolbar up here. So you get the folders, you get the individual items. I don't find that particularly useful to have there, but it's there. Frequently visited pages is here. And for some reason, it's not loading imagery. I guess that's because I haven't used Safari in a while, perhaps. Siri suggestion. These are pages that I've visited in the past that have been turned into reading mode. Actually, let me load one of these. Here's a TechCrunch article, for instance. And you can see in reading mode, it still looks like a TechCrunch web page, but it's cleaner. It doesn't have any ads on it. And I think this is probably a nice way to go. We're going to go back, though, to our original page and show you some other features as we're in here. Past reading list. Here's stuff that's on my iPhone. You see some of the things that I look at on a regular basis. That's nice to have those links here. The privacy report, where is it? Well, I'm going to actually show you from this part. But before we do that, let's go to a website. Let's go to a popular site a lot of people go to, maybe the New York Times. And on the New York Times, I'm going to make it full screen so we can see this a little bit better. When I load the New York Times, this privacy tab, this new thing, this is really interesting. This privacy report shows what trackers are on this website. Websites use trackers fairly frequently for a variety of reasons, some of them benign, some of them not so benign. If you want to know more, just the simple number doesn't tell you everything. You can actually see. So a lot of this comes from advertising systems. Chartbeat is actually something we use as well to keep track of advertising referrals. We also use Google Analytics. I think that's fairly harmless. That's just counting how many visitors to the page. There's the Google Tag Manager, MediaNet, Scorecard Research. So about half of these, three-quarters of them, are marketing and advertising. The rest are information that the New York Times might reasonably want to know about how much traffic it's generating. I think it's great to know that. It's not blocking it. You can add extensions, and that's another thing that we're going to talk about. The new Safari has improved extension support. Let me quickly, though, show you another feature of the new Safari, and that is the tabs. I'm going to open a couple of more sites. So let's go to the SF Gate, the San Francisco Chronicle website, and let's add another tab for Tech Meme, which I read all the time, one of my favorite news websites. So now I have three tabs open. Weirdly enough, this is new. This is a feature most other browsers have had for a long time. The favicon is now shown in the tab bar. So you can see when I'm on the New York Times, I actually get the New York Times logo. But this is a feature I like, and other browsers do have this, but this is new to Safari. If I hover over the tab, I get a little rendered thumbnail of what that page looks like. If you've got a lot of tabs open, this is going to be a really nice feature. You can see, oh, that tab, that has that on it. So it's like a little map of where you're going. You notice there's a little pause, and of course I'm on Tech Meme, so it's not doing that right now. Every tab can be pinned. This is nothing new or duplicated. I do like pinning tabs, and I do this on Firefox as well. If these are sites that you go to regularly, you might pin them, and then what it does is it makes a small little version of the tab in the pin here. And this is where, frankly, the thumbnails and the favicons make a big difference, because now these little pins, I can really see what I've got in the little pins. So this makes something that's been around for a while in Safari, the ability to pin a tab, a little bit more useful. If you close Safari, those pin tabs persist, so they'll always be there. That's for sites that you want to root visit all the time on a regular basis. Privacy report, customizable start page, improved tab design. Those are all features in the new Safari 14, making it well worth it. I'm going to talk about one more thing that is actually available in all versions of Safari, but I find very useful. Actually, let's real quickly go into the preferences before I do that. I was going to show you some extensions. Oh, actually, there my extensions are open already, so I'll show you that as long as we're here. The extensions available are limited. Apple, for security reasons, has, frankly, considerably limited what extensions can do. This newest version, Safari 14, has added extension capabilities, so there are more extensions now. But, for instance, my favorite advertiser blocker, which I use on both Chrome and Firefox, uBlock Origin, is not really available on Safari because Gore Hill, its author, says Safari won't let me do the things I want. Instead, I use another content blocking system called Wiper, but there are others. There are quite a few of them. You see here, it's very easy to enable or disable extensions. I only really have two enabled. That's the Ad Blocker, Wiper, and LastPass. But you'll see there are more extensions now available on Safari in the extension library, including Ghostery and some other Ghostery Lite and some other extensions that will help you with privacy as well. DuckDuckGo has some good privacy essentials. In fact, this might be one you might want to add if you have Wiper on there to block trackers. I think Apple has gotten much more aggressive about privacy protections in Safari. I don't know if you really need Ghostery or DuckDuckGo, both of which are designed to spot and remove trackers. I think Apple's doing a good job now. And in fact, if we go back to the preferences, I can show you some of the features that I think make Safari a much more privacy-focused browser than it used to be, and probably preferable to Google Chrome. So let's go back into the preferences here. We'll work our way through it. Most of these are all, you know, pretty normal. You can see the TechMeme is my start page. You can also see that you can remove history items. I don't think anything is particularly unusual here. This is one feature you might want to pay attention to, the open save files after downloading. Safari, like a lot of browsers, will open a download if it can to process it. Generally, I turn that off because that's always risky to open a file you just downloaded from the internet. Safari at least protects you by saying, well, these are what I consider safe files, like PDFs and sometimes zip files, you know, archives. The problem is right now that's safe, but if a PDF exploit should turn up, automatically opening that PDF is going to be a dangerous thing to do. So I would uncheck that. It's a little less convenient. You'll have to go into your download folder and manually expand or open the PDFs, but I just like that a lot better than anything automatic in a browser. I always turn off browser features that happen without my say-so. You could see the new tab handling. Some of this is here. It's good to remember that Command 1 through 9 will let you switch through tabs, which is very handy. Also, Command clicking to open a link in a new tab. If you uncheck that, I think Shift will turn that on anyway. Autofill, I don't like, and I turn off because, again, that can be used maliciously. So it's a convenience, but not a huge convenience. This one bothers me. It's one of the reasons I'm not crazy about Safari. Safari does lock the password vault, which is really, really good. I'm going to unlock it here with my password. But there is no easy way to turn off Safari's request to save passwords, and that drives me up a tree. I never, ever want my browser to save passwords. I just think that's a dangerous thing to do. And it just bugs me that Safari will ask me every single time, do you want to save that? Do you want to save that? I honestly should be able to turn that off completely. So I'll have to keep digging, but the fact that there's no easy checkbox that says don't save passwords, as there is in Chrome and Firefox, really, really bugs me. The default search is Google. You see, you can change it. Maybe for privacy, you'd want to change that to DuckDuckGo. You might also want to turn off search engine suggestions. That can sometimes be a security or privacy issue. I don't like to preload the top hit in the background. That wastes bandwidth, but that's up to you if you want to turn that on or off. Always leave these two turned on. You could enable disable JavaScript, but it'll make most websites break. I leave it on. You know, if you really want to be secure, turning that off and then just stop using the internet because it's not going to work very well. And I do like the fraudulent website warning. Definitely prevent cross-site tracking. Some people block all cookies. Again, I think that's a usability issue. Without cookies, most websites don't work very well. This is where you would be able to delete cookies or manage cookies. And I use Apple Pay. I think that's one of the nicest features, actually, of using Safari's ability to pay with Apple Pay. It will check for those sites. These are all the websites I've visited. Oh, boy, notifications. Actually, this is a really important one. And I would uncheck this box right here. You've seen this. You go to a website and it says, can we give you notifications? Do not allow websites to ask for permission and you won't get those pop-ups. If you want notifications, there's ways to turn that on. You can see in most cases, I deny that. These are sites I've been to that have asked me and I say, No, I don't want Kim Komando's notifications. Absolutely not. There are only a couple of places you might allow that. A calendar, for instance, is really nice to have calendar pop-ups saying, hey, you're late for your appointment. Same thing with email if you want notifications. But that's a really good one. So this is, I should mention this, under the Websites tab, go to Notifications and uncheck Allow Websites to Ask for Permissions if you don't want to be bothered. You can also choose. These are individual websites and choose how blockers work with them. You can choose whether the reader is on or off. If you turn it on, for instance, every time I visit the New York Times, I'll get a reader view generated. That's nice if a site is difficult to use or so forth. You can change the default web zoom. You see, I always zoom in on some sites. In fact, TechMeme, I usually double in size because my eyesight's poor. Plus, these sites, they don't take up all the space. So it's nice to be able to set those. But don't forget that while you're on the site, you can actually use Command Plus or Command Minus to zoom in or out. And that will be remembered, that zoom that you choose. I always turn off autoplay on every site that I think about it. And in fact, let's turn it off globally, which is to stop media with sound or never. Let's never autoplay on any site. So I can set it site by site or set it generally there. That's a really valuable thing to do. Another thing, if a site wants a camera, you could always prohibit it or always allow it. Same thing for the microphone. These are privacy issues. Location issues, very similar. You can say never allow, always allow, or ask. Ask is the default in most cases. That's the right thing to do. Same thing with screen sharing. I don't know why you would want to disallow downloads, but if you thought you were going to some sites that were dangerous, I guess you could prohibit those. And pop-up windows. This list is short because I've only visited these three sites since I got the new Safari, so this list will start getting longer. I always like to block pop-up windows, and you can say block and notify, block without notification, or allow. I would at least say block and notify. I think that's probably the best choice. These are the extensions we were talking about earlier. There are lots of them. In fact, the extension store has now added some really good, nice ones. It's a good idea periodically to check, you know, press this button, more extensions, and go visit. And finally, in advanced, I always turn on this. Safari was the first browser. Others have followed suit to hide the full web URL in the address bar. I think that's a security issue. I want to see the full web URL. I don't want to see a truncated version of that. So for security reasons, I always turn on show full website address. That information is key, and it's important to verify that you are where you think you are. I also always say use larger fonts. Now, this, because this is a screen I use on the air, is set higher than you probably would want it, 9 or 10 or 11. It depends on your eyesight. But that just says you can't use fonts that are too small. They're just too hard to read. Another accessibility issue, you can press tab to highlight items on a web page. I don't know if people know about that. That's a really handy tool for jumping around on a web page. Might be worth turning on. I don't use Reading List. I use Pocket instead. But if you're, you know, if you're not using Pocket, it's nice to have pages converted to that reader format, and to keep a list of them, you could check that box. Style Sheet allows people, this is kind of an advanced Black Diamond tip, but allows people to use a CSS file to say, this is what websites should look like. If you don't like some fonts, or you always want to use a certain font or color or size, or always want to use dark mode, you could use a Style Sheet to fully control how Safari displays pages, overriding the Style Sheet that the page itself offers. If you want to see what's possible, Google Safari Style Sheets and you'll get a selection of different looks people have tried. I would not change your default encoding unless you know what you're doing, although truthfully, UTF-8 is probably the default and should be the default for all browsers. If you're working in other languages, you can change that as well. I guess the default is Western ISO, Latin 1. Interesting. I haven't played with other choices. I always just use UTF-8. And again, don't set a proxy unless you know what you're doing. The develop menu is something I've always left on, probably not for very good reason in Safari, but it gives you a few extra features, as you can see, including information about service workers available, other experimental features, and there's quite a few of them. I just leave it on because I like to know, well, what's some other things I can do? Mostly for web designers and web developers, but you can see there's some fun little stuff in here. Might be something that you'd want to turn on and take a look at. It also gives you the chance to use the beta versions of Safari by choosing Get Safari Technology Preview. So there's kind of a rundown of some of the features in the new Safari. I think Safari is getting better and better all the time. It's a really nice browser. I want to especially thank Apple and commend them for paying more attention to privacy. This is now, I would say, second perhaps only to Firefox, the most advanced, certainly the most advanced mainstream browser, even beats Edge. And I think as Edge and Safari and Firefox each push each other to get better, it's going to really improve our experience on the web. I like that a lot. Of course, Safari getting a lot of heat because as soon as you start blocking those trackers, people get upset. They say, well, we can't track people. We can't monetize them. We can't do the advertising we'd like to do. I think it should be your right to turn them off, and I'm glad Safari's given us that capability. Well, that's it. The first piece of our trip down the road to Big Sur. This is an easy one. Almost all of you, even if you're not going to Big Sur, will want to get Safari 14. I'm sure there are also unpublicized security fixes in there. There almost always are. That's why you almost always want to keep your browser up to date. Next week, we're going to talk about preparing for the Big Sur install by moving your data folder off your internal hard drive. Not something everybody will want to do, but it is a good way to make sure that if you're going to do a completely clean install, you're going to wipe your hard drive, your data stays intact while you install the next version of Mac OS. That's it for this edition of Hands on Mac for this week. This episode of Hands on Mac is brought to you by IT Pro TV. If you're interested in an IT career, but you're not sure where to start, IT Pro TV is your one-stop shop. You know, this month is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and IT Pro TV has hundreds of hours of cybersecurity training. Go to itpro.tv/twit and use the code TWIT30 to receive 30% off all consumer subscriptions. That's itpro.tv/twit, the offer code TWIT30 for, yes, 30% off for the lifetime of your active subscription. IT Pro TV, build or expand your IT career and enjoy the journey. All right, that's it for our first of a series on the road to Big Sur. I have to say, I really like what they've done with Safari. Maybe I'll start using it. I certainly will on my Mac laptops just to save battery life. Have a great weekend. I'll see you next Friday as we continue down the road to Big Sur. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Want more TWiT? Well, check out Smart Tech Today. It's at twit.tv/STT. It's the show where Matthew Casinelli and I cover everything there is to know about smart tech. It's automation. It's connected devices. It's smart home. It's all those goodies and so much more. We get the news. We get the latest devices. We do reviews. Everything. You got to check it out. twit.tv/STT for Smart Tech Today.